Reading from the second chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, regarding the birth of Jesus, the story goes like this. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God, for they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived. The birth of a king. We watch as our neighbors across the pond, every time a prince or a princess is born, it is done with much fanfare. And yet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the great I Am, was born in the most lowly and unlikely of circumstances. If you and I were to sit down and write the story of the birth of a king, we would never write it this way. No, we would have a lot of fanfare. We would have a lot of majesty around it. We would have a lot of celebration. We would have news-to-news 24-hour coverage, right? We would never write a story about a baby of this magnitude, of this majesty, being born like this. And yet that's exactly how he came. He came in the most lowly and unlikely of circumstances. To be a shepherd in the days of Jesus would have been to be one of the lower of society. You know, if you were a rabbi or if you were a lawyer back then, you would have been considered in the upper echelon. You would have been considered someone of being worthy of respect and honor, but not a shepherd. The ones to whom the announcement was made, the ones to whom the birth announcement was given, were these lowly shepherds tending to their flocks in the fields by night. Have you ever thought about why he came this way? Have you ever considered that he didn't do it the way we would do it in our minds? The way we would write the story. Have you ever thought about why that is? Well, there's an answer. The answer is simple. And in fact, it says it right here. Look what they said. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all people. You see, if he had come the way we would have told the story, we would have thought that we wouldn't be worthy of that. We wouldn't thought that he would receive us the way that he does. And yet he comes like this little baby. He comes in the most lowly and unlikely circumstances. And what that tells us is it doesn't matter who you are, you can come to him. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how good you've been or how bad you've been. It doesn't matter what your pedigree is. It doesn't matter how many degrees you've earned. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how big a house you have. It doesn't matter how nice of a car you have. You can be on the upper end of the socioeconomic scale, or you can be at the very bottom of the socioeconomic scale, and yet every single one of us can come to Jesus, because he started at the bottom. And that means if you're here tonight and you've not come to him, you can come to him now. You can come to him today. It might surprise you to know that as a pastor, I struggle at Christmas. You say, well, what do you mean you struggle at Christmas? I struggle because Christmas is a lot of busyness. In the church and in life, you've got the social side of life, and you've got the family side of life, and you've got the church side of life, and you're trying to balance it all. And it becomes a real struggle for me. Every single year it becomes a struggle to really grasp Christmas and the true meaning of it. Yet somehow every year I manage to find myself, maybe just in the nick of time, laying all the other stuff aside and just reflecting on this simple story recorded in the second chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. Now, if you don't know Jesus, I'm sure Christmas has meant a lot of different things to you over the years. It's been about toys, and it's been about parties. It's been about gathering. For many, it is about heartbreak. For many people, Christmas is a tough time because of the heartbreak that it brings. But you see, with Jesus, Christmas always has meaning. It has real meaning. It has the meaning that God intended if you know him. So what I want to do tonight, in closing, before we have the candlelight part of the service, is I want to invite you to know him. One of the most wonderful parts of the job that I have is the opportunity to extend an invitation. Every Sunday we extend this invitation. Every Sunday at the end of preaching God's Word, we extend this invitation. Every time we gather together, we extend this invitation. What is the invitation? The invitation is to give your life to Jesus. The invitation is to change your eternal destination. The invitation is to know what true life is as you walk with God. The invitation is to repent of your sins and to turn today and to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's not my invitation, it's God's invitation. It's the invitation that is talked about right here. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That invitation to know him is extended to each and every one of you. And as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you right now, right where you are, to pray a simple prayer of faith that goes something like this. Simply say in your heart, say, Jesus, I want to know the true meaning of Christmas. I want to understand Christmas the way that you meant for it to be understood. And tonight you're telling me that the way to do that is I need to turn away from my sins and I need to turn to you. Just right there in the quietness of your heart, say, Lord Jesus, I turn to you today. Tonight, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you came 2,000 years ago. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And yes, I believe that you rose again. And if you would pray that in your heart and you would mean it tonight, now you know what Christmas is truly all about. The Bible says that Jesus is the light of the world. And so let us join together in singing this wonderful, wonderful 200-year-old hymn of the faith, Silent Night, Holy Night, as we'll now begin to light our candles.